the coziest concert venue in town. I'm Tom Shine, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCown Gordon and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Coming up, a new documentary uncovers the past of the Udall tornado.
So one of the major themes of this particular project, more than our others, is, I would say, discovery.
But first, as concertgoers battle rising ticket prices, some smaller artists also struggle to remain profitable when performing at larger venues. One Eastboro couple has spent the last two decades supporting musicians and audiences alike with a unique concert setting. Amina Jenkins has more.
Tony Camel, a bluegrass musician from Texas, was set to perform last month on an outdoor stage in Eastboro. Around 6 p.m., the crew got an update that scattered thunderstorms would be in the area throughout the night. At any other outdoor venue, a rained-out concert is a canceled concert. But here, the crew pivoted to their next best option, the living room. Camel's concert was part of the Farha Backyarder concert series hosted by Ted and Terry Farha. The couple invites a variety of artists to play small concerts at their home as they pass through Wichita. The concert series stems from a spontaneous idea in the early 2000s. Terry befriended cellist Eugene Friesen while volunteering at Prairie Fest in Ark City. She says she and Ted got the idea to invite him over for an impromptu concert after the festival one year.
We just said, hey, we'd love to see you play. What do you think about playing in the backyard?
Ted and Terry asked people to bring their own chairs and suggested a donation to the artist. That night, the concert drew a crowd of over 100 people and sparked a passion for backyard concerts. Almost two decades later, the Farha Backyarder concert series is a full-scale operation. With help from friends and fellow music lovers, Ted and Terry turn their backyard, or in this night's case, their living room, into an intimate music venue with an entire light and sound system. Concerts draw anywhere from 50 to 150 people. Artists receive 100% of all donations, while also being fed and housed by Ted and Terry for the night. Ted says the payoff from hosting musicians throughout the years is worth it.
We take care of them, and it's our pleasure to do it. It's a lot of fun, and then we hear world-class music in our backyard.
That music includes performances from violinist Daryl Anger, folk band The Brother Brothers, and several Grammy Award-winning artists like Melody Walker and Billy Strings.
Thank y'all for coming out and braving the rain.
Tony Camel's rained-in concert on June 23rd was his sixth performance in the Farha Backyarder concert series. He included their backyard as an official stop on the tour promoting his album, We're All Gonna Live. For many artists, house concerts are more financially feasible than a larger venue with more overhead. But Camel says it's everything beyond the concert. The dinner conversations, the late-night jam sessions with Ted, that keep him coming back.
When you get to know these people in this personal level, and you share these personal moments with them, you become friends faster.
As rain from the evening's thunderstorms tapped against the window, no more than 20 people gathered to watch Camel play. Still, Camel picked away at his banjo and shared heartfelt stories the same way he would have to a crowd of 200. A true testament to the spirit of a Farha backyarder.
All right, thanks everybody.
For The Range, I'm Amina Jenkins.
You can read more of Amina's story at KMUW.org. The art of storytelling is in almost everything we touch, even the weather. Frank Waugh is a meteorologist at KTV. He and filmmaker Lester Rowe recently produced a short film called Echoes of the Storm, recounting the 1955 Udall tornado in which 80 people died. Torn Anderson talked with Waugh and Rowe about digging into the archives to tell the story.
Frank Waugh says Paul Threlfall from Wichita was the cameraman in Udall that night in 1955.
His neighbor was the fire chief in Wichita, and he said, hey, we're sending units down to Udall. So Paul found out about it, so he grabbed his camera gear and he goes down there.
Threlfall was one of the original hires for Cake, so it would make sense that the station still had all that original footage. But no. Lester Rowe explains.
We are aware of a lot of recording of this moment, but we don't have it.
So where did that film go if it's not archived at the station?
In 1955, we were the only TV station that had a news gathering operation. All the major networks, ABC, NBC, CBS in New York, wanted film from Udall. So we said, we cut film. We literally cut it, and we sent it to them without making a copy.
Some of that original film was cut, then got shipped back to Wichita to be played on competitors' newscasts.
Channel 12 here in town has footage that they've aired before that is ours because it's our news director in doing the interview.
Finding the missing Udall film was a creative journey all on its own. It was different from the film the two did on the 1958 tornado in El Dorado.
See, one of the major themes of this particular project, more than our others, is, I would say, discovery. Because when we did El Dorado, we discovered stuff at the end. This is us discovering stuff in real time.
Waugh and Rowe had already made a 10-minute film called Dawn of Doppler about how Doppler radar came into being after the El Dorado tornado of 1958. At the end of producing that film was when they donned their archivist hats before starting work on Echoes of the Storm. Some of their discoveries were just a few feet away from their work area.
I think we all got collective goosebumps because this is just found.
We've had a box literally under the staircase that's like over here.
But in that, we found a folder that just said Udall disaster.
That folder contained many pertinent images that were used in the film. But finding all this stuff, sometimes randomly, can make it hard to understand where the trail is leading.
We was crafting a 1,000-piece puzzle that didn't necessarily have a picture on it.
Rowe and Waugh found a guidepost.
Can we find this little girl that we talked to back in 55?
Their research turned up images shot by Cake of a young girl being interviewed.
Greg Gamer is in a hospital room interviewing this little girl who's 11 years old. Her face is all cut up. And I searched her name, found out she was still living, she was here.
Echoes of the Storm has interviews with people who were there, along with images Waugh and Rowe dug up from the Cake basement all the way to the State Archives in Topeka, to put you in the seat of their subject.
You can't listen to it and not feel like what these people felt.
For The Range, I'm Torin Anderson.
And one last thing. Town West Square opened about a month after I arrived in Wichita in 1980. And because I was a West Sider, I went there a lot. Bought clothes, watched movies, ate giant pretzels, grinned at the senior citizens walking laps. I remember buying flowers there for my wife in 1989, after our son was born. But like a lot of people, I haven't been to the mall in years. America's shopping habits constantly evolve. Downtown used to be Wichita's retail center. Then the malls came along, followed by Newmarket and Bradley Fair, and now the internet. As Town West closes, all I can think of is, where will us senior citizens walk now? Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Jonathan Huber, Beth Goulet, and Lou Ann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torin Anderson composed our theme music. The executive producer of The Range is Fletcher Powell. I'm Tom Schein, and this is KEMUW, NPR for Wichita.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.